Hey guys, what is up, and welcome to the very first episode of Young and Faithful Podcast. If you guys have been around for any amount of time, or you follow us on Instagram at youngandfaithful_, you know that Young and Faithful Podcast was previously Life of a Christian Teenager, but back in June, I took a break from the podcast to see what God really wanted to do with this ministry. And through patience and prayer, God has put a whole lot of things on my heart for you guys to share. I haven't really spoken since the last podcast episode, and God has done so much to help prepare us into this new season for this podcast as a whole. One of those things being a rebrand from Life of a Christian Teenager to Young and Faithful. So you're probably wondering, why the rebrand? Well, Life of a Christian Teenager was all about teaching kids how to live a life for Christ in high school. And though the mission was great, I believe that the end goal of this podcast is so much broader. We not only want to reach teens in high school, but also in middle school and also in college. And the reason behind this is because everyone starts following the Lord at different times and with different previous knowledge. There are middle schoolers who have a hunger for God at the level of a high schooler, and there are college students that have just started following the Lord that want to learn the basics of what it practically looks like to follow Christ. Not only that, but we want the knowledge shared here to expand and reach people farther and way more outside the doors than just high school. With all of this being said, this brings us to our mission statement for Young and Faithful Podcast. Young and Faithful exists to equip students with the wisdom and knowledge they need to live a life faithful to God while we're still young. The bottom line is that following Christ at 13, 18, 25 years old isn't really popular at all, and it really isn't that cool either. And a genuine faith in Christ typically isn't the trendy thing to do. So when the whole world is being dragged one way by the current of culture, how do we as Christians find the strength to fight the current and swim in the other direction? Well, that's what this podcast exists to do. It is here to provide the practical tools, wisdom, and knowledge that you need to live a life marked by the presence of God while you're still young. Now, I know that was the longest intro ever to this podcast, but I just wanted to let you guys know what we are all about here on Young and Faithful. And with all that being said, I cannot wait to go ahead and jump into the content of this very first episode. So if you're tuning in and you're able, go ahead and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 32, because this is where we will be reading for today's podcast episode. Hey guys, what is up, and welcome to the very first episode of Young and Faithful Podcast. My name is Rachel. I'm your host here on the podcast, and so I just wanted to go ahead and tell you guys a little bit about myself. I am pretty much as basic Christian girl as it gets. I love all things coffee, all things Instagram, all things travel. My favorite kind of music is probably like an alternative folk, alternative pop kind of vibe. So like the Lumineers, the Head and the Heart, Johnny Swim. I love all of those artists, absolutely obsessed with them. But I also love a little bit of country, a little bit of classic rock, a little bit of pop, pretty much everything. I listen to any and all kinds of music. Music's one of my favorite things, but one of my favorite things in life and my favorite thing about my life right now is probably college. I am a freshman at Anderson University, where I'm studying Christian studies with an emphasis in preaching and teaching, which is why I'm so excited to start this podcast. For a really long time, I felt like the Lord has been calling me to preach and teach. I've been preaching and teaching for a while. Took a little break, as you probably heard in the intro before, just to figure out what that looked like. And that is where the Lord put this podcast on my heart. So I'm just so excited to go ahead and jump in today's episode and to get today's material to you guys. So If you listen to the intro, you know that today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. So if you have a Bible or a notebook with you, I encourage you to go ahead and open your Bible to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Grab a pen, grab your notebook, and let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. If you're taking notes, today's episode is titled Faith, subtitle, Regaining Ground That the Devil Has Stolen. So you probably hear this title, faith, and you're wondering, what is faith? Well, Hebrews verse 11, chapter 1 tells us that faith is the reality of what we have hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. Once again, it says that faith is the reality of what we have hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. Now, like I said, the subtitle of today's message is Regaining Ground That the Devil Has Stolen. We know that 2021 and 2020 has been a year where a lot of Christians have lost faith because of the things around us. The world is screaming at us that there's no way God can be good. We shouldn't have faith in a God who can let the world around us look like this. And we know for a lot of Christians, they've, since, you know, COVID and since all the things going on in the world, have stepped away from church. They've stepped away from their relationship with God. They've lost faith, and it looks like the devil is beginning to gain a whole lot of ground in our world. But like Hebrews 11:1 says, it says that faith is the reality of what we've hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. So the heart behind today's episode is to encourage you guys and to show you guys how we can have faith in what isn't seen when the world around us is telling us to not have faith because of what we do see. The world is screaming that we shouldn't have faith because things look so bad. But today we are going to learn how to have faith and hope in what we cannot see. So today we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, and this is the story of Peter walking on the water. If you've been around church or religion or Christianity for any sort of amount of time, you've probably heard this story. But I believe that this story offers us three valuable points of how we can regain faith and trust and have faith in Jesus even when the things around us don't look great. So we're going to go ahead and dive into today's story. Just a little bit of context, just a little bit of background for today's story. Jesus and the disciples just finished feeding the 5,000. Jesus is dismissing the crowds, and the disciples are headed onto the boat over to the next city that they are going to travel to. But Jesus stays behind to pray for a little while the disciples hop out on the boat. And while the disciples are on the boat, this big old storm comes up, and this is where we are picking up in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from the land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus came towards them walking on the sea very early in the morning. When the disciples saw him on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them. Have courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter told him, command me to come onto the water. And Jesus said, come. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. He began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshipped him and said, truly, you are the Son of God. So like I said, I've got three quick and easy points for you guys from this story of how we can begin to regain faith in our lives. And the first point that I have for you today, if you're taking notes, is that looks are deceiving, but God's voice is trustworthy. One more time, it's that looks are deceiving, but God's voice is trustworthy.
So I don't know if you guys have ever done a mirror maze before. Well, I've only done a mirror maze once in my life, and that's because I've done a mirror maze before. I hated every minute of my mirror maze experience. It absolutely traumatized me, which is why I will not do one again. But my two biggest fears in the world are being alone and the dark. Like, I'm 18 years old. I literally still sprint from my car into the house at nighttime because I will not walk outside in the dark because I think, like, if I walk in the dark, I'm going to get kidnapped. And if my parents and my siblings are going out somewhere for the night, like, I will go to the gym, I'll go to a friend's house, I'll go to a restaurant, but I cannot stand being home alone. Hate being at the house on my own. Like, if I was in the Home Alone movie, I just would have stayed locked in a closet the whole week. Like, those kidnappers could have gotten me because I'm terrified of being by myself. Well, I had no prior context to what a mirror maze was like when my brother asked me to do one. So I was like, yeah, I'll do this mirror maze with you, Elijah. Like, I wanted to be the cool sister. I'm not a chicken. But to start this mirror maze that we were in, they put you in a room by yourself with the lights off, which are my two biggest fears. So 12-year-old me is in this room. The lights are off. I'm about to pee my pants because I'm by myself. And the next thing you know, the room starts spinning. Like, just to top it off, they were like, why not make the room start spinning? So this room I'm in, it starts spinning. And after a minute of just, like, spinning, the room stops and these doors open to just this, like, giant room full of mirrors. And in this mirror maze, they've got this, like, punk rock clown music playing, there are sirens blaring, there are strobe lights going, and at this point, I would rather stay in the room than outside of the room, because the only thing that is scarier than the dark and being alone is being surrounded by a million 12-year-old Rachels in a mirror. Like, 12-year-old me was scary. So after, like, sitting in this room for probably about 5 minutes, I realized that the only way to get out of this room and the only way to get out of this creepy clown mirror maze is by going through it. So I started to work out some courage, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get through this thing, I'm going to get through this thing fast. So I get ready, and I'm like, I'm going to sprint through this mirror maze. Like I said, I don't know if you guys have ever done a mirror maze, but sprinting in a mirror maze, probably not the best choice I've ever made, because when you think you're about to walk through an opening, turns out it's actually a mirror. So I'm sprinting and bam, I smack into a mirror. I fall on the ground. I start crying because it hurts so bad. But I didn't even think about it. I was like, all right, I'm still going to try to get out of this fast. So I start sprinting again because why not? And then bam, I run into another mirror. And after about 20 minutes, I've maybe moved 5 feet. I think I found like one entrance to actually go through. So 20 minutes has gone by. I'm running in circles. I'm crying because I keep smacking into mirrors at full sprint. There's this creepy clown music playing, strobe lights going. I'm on the verge of peeing my pants. Like, I'm absolutely about to pee my pants. But then I remember that I went into the mirror maze with my brother. So I start calling out to him. I'm like, Elijah, where are you? Like, I can't find my way out. I'm about to pee my pants. Like, I'm crying. And you can just hear the terror in my voice. And after about a minute of calling, I hear my brother say, Rachel, I'm at the end of the maze. Just follow the sound of my voice. So my brother starts calling out. He keeps calling. And I start to listen to him. And once I slow down and start to walk through the maze and listen to my brother's voice, after about 5 minutes, I've made it to the end of the maze. And so I get out of this maze. I start kissing the ground. I'm hugging my parents. I'm like, I never thought I was going to see you guys again. Like, I truly thought that I was going to die in that mirror maze. That's why I've never done a mirror maze ever again. And you're probably wondering, like, Rachel, why did you literally just tell us a 4-minute story about you in a mirror maze? Well, that's because I think that the world works a whole lot like that mirror maze. The lights are going, the music is playing, there are mirrors all around us that are deceiving in looks. And the path that you thought was right and was going to lead you to freedom has just led you smacking into another wall. You're smacking into mirror after mirror, stuck in the spiral of going nowhere, growing anxious, growing scared and feeling like you can't find a way out. Maybe you're feeling just like me, and what was around me was deceiving. But in the middle of my frightened and anxious state, I heard a voice. A voice that was trustworthy, the voice of my big brother. Now, even though I couldn't see my brother at the end of the maze, I heard his voice. I knew it was the voice of my brother, and I knew my brother was a trustworthy person. So I focused on the voice of my brother and trusted it rather than the looks around me, and his voice led me to freedom. See, the mirrors didn't disappear and the punk rock clown music didn't quit playing, but when I turned my focus to the voice of my brother and I trusted his word, he led me to safety. See, the world is deceiving, but God's voice is trustworthy. And we see this with Jesus in Peter right at the beginning of the story. The disciples just spent a week with Jesus doing ministry. They just fed the 5,000 with Jesus. They know what Jesus looks like. They've been doing ministry with him for months. Like, they know his face. But when Jesus starts walking on the water, the disciples scream out, "It's a ghost." So I imagine the storm around them was one of those storms that when the rain is so heavy, you can't even see 5 feet in front of you. Like when you're driving in your car and you have to cut your windshield wipers all the way up because you can't even see 2 feet in front of you because the rain is just that bad. I imagine that if the disciples were able to see that it was Jesus, they would have had no reason to believe it was a ghost. And the same thing happens with Peter in verse 27. It says, "Immediately Jesus spoke to them, 'Have courage, it is I, do not be afraid.'" And then Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water." See, Peter knew what Jesus looked like. So if Peter was able to see Jesus' face, he would have had no reason to ask God if it was really him. All Peter had to rely on was the voice of Jesus. And the next voice, in the next verse, verse 29, we see Jesus, he says, "Here, come." And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. See, Peter realized that even when looks are deceiving, God's voice is trustworthy. I'm sure the thunder was just blaring outside, the lightning was striking, the wind was blowing, and the rain was falling. But Peter recognized the voice of Jesus. He knew he was a trustworthy friend. So even when the wind and the waves around him were screaming, "Don't step out of the boat," Peter trusted the voice of his friend Jesus, and he walked on the water. This is what living a faith-filled life practically looks like for you and I in a year like 2021. The world is screaming and showing us that, hey, God can't be good. Like, focus on the storm around you. Look at all the racism in the world. Look at the coronavirus going on. Look at this going on. Look at that going on. Look at all these bad things that are going on around the world and that are going on in your lives. Like, you can't trust God. But you and I as Christians can have confidence even in the middle of the storm because we know God's voice is trustworthy and we know where he is leading us. In middle school, this practically looks like standing up for a friend that's being gossiped about because God says it's right, even when the world is telling you not to because you won't seem as cool anymore. In high school, it's staying home on the weekends instead of going to that party because even when the world is screaming at you that partying is the only way to have fun, you can trust that the word of God is true and you can trust the voice of God when he says that he has better things in store for you. In college, this looks like pursuing purity in your dating relationships because when we live in a world that is all about sexuality, in a world that is screaming now more than ever that sex is love, sex is fun, it's harmless, and that there's no relationship if there's no sex. But we have the ability to trust God's voice when he says that sex is designed to be between man and woman within marriage, and that it's only good when it's done God's way. This is what it looks like to live a life marked by and faithful to God, is to know that God's voice is trustworthy more than the looks around us.
So that's point number one, is that the world is deceiving, but God's voice is trustworthy. Point number two for today's podcast episode is that doubt drowns us, but faith upholds us. Here in verse 30, it says, "But when Peter saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" See, when Peter focused on the storm around him rather than the God in front of him, his faith began to decrease and his doubt began to increase. And a question that I have for you is that you this year? Have your eyes been focused on the storm around you rather than the God in front of you, so you feel like your doubt in God has began to increase and your faith has decreased? Well, I believe we have the perfect encouragement for this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that lay before him, he endured on the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." See, Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, it tells us right here to keep our eyes on Jesus because he is the source and perfecter of our faith. It does not say to keep your eyes on the world, to keep your eyes on the things around you because they are the source and the perfecter of your faith. No, that's because we know that when we keep our eyes on the world, all the world is ever going to do is let us down. And Hebrews tells us right here that the world is not the source and the perfecter of our faith, but Jesus is the source and our perfecter of our faith. So when we want our faith to increase and our doubt to decrease, we must keep our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith. Verse number 3 of Hebrews chapter 12, 3 leads me into our third point. It says, "For the joy that lay before him, he endured on the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand throne of God." See, point number 3 for today's podcast is that our hope is not found in what God does now. It is found in what he did on the cross. Once again, our hope is not found in what God does now. It is found in what he did on the cross. We see this in the story in Matthew in chapter 14, verse 32. It says, when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You notice that when the wind ceased and the storm stopped, the disciples did not say, "Yay, praise you because the storm is over. Praise God because the storm in my life is done. Praise God because the winds have ceased and the storm has stopped." No, they say, "Praise him because truly you are the Son of God." Now, this entire story in Matthew chapter 14 is not a story about Peter walking out on the water. I mean, it does have a lot to do with Peter and Peter's faith and Peter's lack of faith. But the moral of this story is to teach us something about Christ, that if you would have been here in that time as a disciple, you would have known that Jesus truly was the Son of God. This is the first time we see them admit that Jesus is the Son of God, because only the Son of God has the power to tell the winds to stop and the seas to stop and the storms to end. So that's the point of the story, is to show who Jesus really is. But what you and I can take away from this is that the disciples understood that their hope was not found in what Jesus does, but it was found in what Jesus was going to do. See, for 400 years of silence before Jesus was born, the world had not heard from God. For years, the Jews have been waiting for the so-called Messiah that's been prophesied about in these Old Testament books. They've been waiting for the Messiah to come and save them. And here we see the disciples realize that Jesus is the Messiah that has been prophesied about for years. Jesus truly is the Son of God. They realize that Jesus is the one that is coming to save them from the oppression that they're under, that Jesus is the Messiah coming to save them from the world. And we see that whenever they say, "Truly, you are the Son of God," because the disciples understood once again that their hope was not found in what Jesus does, but it was found in what Jesus was going to do. what was it that Jesus was going to do? John 3:16, a verse that every single one of us know. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus was going to come to die on the cross so that the disciples, the people around him, and everybody after them, so that you and I can have a relationship with God and spend eternity in heaven with him forever. See, something that I think about often and that the world has been screaming is how can we have faith in a God that lets bad things happen? These have been 2 years that are completely marked by bad things happening in our lives. And the world wants to tell us that we can't believe in a God who lets bad things happen. But something that I always think about is that bad things happen either way. That God does not promise a better today. He does not promise to step in and make your life easy, to make every single thing easy. Now he gives us tools and gifts to make our days better. But what God doesn't promise is that God does not promise a better today. What God promises is a better eternity. Because even when today is hard, you and I can have hope because we know how our story ends if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. See, the disciples knew how their story was going to end because they knew who Jesus was and they knew what Jesus had come to do. Truly, you are the Son of God. They had hope because they knew how the story was about to end. So once again, if that's you, go ahead and get yourself in a posture of prayer to pray this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer, asking you to forgive me of my sins. Today, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me so that I may spend eternity in heaven with you. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask you right now to come into my life and to be my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins, and I will worship you for all the days of my life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, awesome. If you made the decision to put your faith in Jesus today, we would love to hear from you guys. There's a question box on the Spotify app where you can type in and let us know if that was you today, or you can also reach out to us on Instagram at youngandfaithful_. We would love to know if that was you. And even if today wasn't the day that you decided to put your faith in Christ and you've been a Christian for a while, but you just want some prayer and encouragement for God to strengthen your faith, you can also reach out to us on Instagram at youngandfaithful_ or on the Spotify app. And we would love to pray for you guys as well. We want to thank each of you guys for tuning into today's episode. We cannot wait for the content that is to come. We have an episode coming up on anxiety and depression with one of my friends where you're going to get to hear an awesome testimony about how God saved her from her anxiety and her depression and how it has been walking in that with Christ since she has become a Christian. You're going to hear about what it's like to worship God in a season where you feel unseen and alone. And we've got some special guests coming on to talk to you guys about what it's like to make every single day your mission field and how you can carry out the gospel of Christ into your everyday world. We are so thankful for you guys. We are so excited to get this podcast started. And we hope you guys will tune in for our next episode coming up in January. If you want more updates, follow us on Instagram at youngandfaithful_. We'll be letting you guys know when our next episode will be out for publishing. We can't wait to hear from you guys. We can't wait to get you guys more content. May God bless you and everybody have a very Merry Christmas. So the question I have to end today's podcast episode is, how does your story end? Do you know how your story ends? Have you ever made the decision to put your faith in Jesus Christ? if you were to wake up tomorrow, if tomorrow were your last day on earth, do you know where you're going? Because the truth is that hell is not just a place for bad people and for sinners to go. No, hell is a place that each of us are deserving of going. Because of our sin, we all deserve eternity separated from Christ. But because God loves us, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that you and I can spend eternity in heaven with Jesus forever. Point number one, looks are deceiving, but God's voice is trustworthy. Maybe these past 2 years, the world has been telling you that God can't be real because of how bad the world around you and life around you has been. But today, God is calling you and he is asking you to turn your attention to him so that he can lead you to freedom forever. Point number two, doubt drowns us, but faith upholds us. Maybe this past year you felt like you're drowning because you don't have a faith to uphold you. Or maybe you're like the disciples in point number three, and you've been trying to find your hope in the things around you. What you need to find is your hope in what Jesus has done for you. So we're going to end today's podcast episode a little differently than we have in the past. And we're going to end with an invitation. It would be wrong of me to assume that everyone who is listening has a relationship with Jesus, that they've put your faith in Christ. And if when I ask you that question of how does your story end, if you don't know that your story ends with eternity in heaven with God, and today is the day that you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you to do something that might be a little awkward, might be a little weird, but I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me. This prayer is not what saves you. What saves you is Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross for you thousands of years ago. What saves you is God's love. But this prayer is an opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart and to ask him to be your Lord and Savior. So if that's you today, and today is the day that you want to get saved, that you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ for the first time, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and say this with me.